This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com, your number one source for Android smartphone accessories. To save 10% on your entire order, enter code AC10 at checkout. Orders over $50 ship free, and international shipping is available. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 189 for Friday the 13th, 2014. How's it going? I'm in a strange mood. I'm Phil Nickinson, editor of AndroidCentral.com, and recently returned again from New York City after another 26-hour trip. Jerry Hildenbrand from West Virginia.
Who did not go to New York, but thinks Phil should buy a condo there.
I would, however, like to comment you on your choice of shirt color today.
Yes, I got the memo.
For those of you listening at home and not watching the video, we are both wearing plaid. Not really. We're both wearing red shirts, which apparently amuses me far more than it should. And Alex Dobie in England.
Hi, I'm not wearing a red shirt.
Yeah, I know, so you didn't get the memo.
How's that? I'm not a red shirt. You guys are red shirts.
We die first, don't we?
Yep.
Isn't that how it goes?
Yep.
We are completely expendable, and Alex will take over the podcast. Oh, so we're going to do things a little differently. It's Friday the 13th, which has absolutely nothing to do with the reason why we're going to do things differently, but everybody likes to blame it for stuff, so I figured I would too. So here's what's going on. I am recently back from New York and the Samsung Galaxy Premiere event, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the new Galaxy Tab S tablets. And I'm having real serious issues with the plurality of all that. We'll talk about that too, maybe. We got some app news I want to talk about, which excites me a little bit. Alex and I want to talk about the G3 some more because, well, we've got software that works now. What else is going on? And I've got a couple special things coming up that we'll play later. But here's the thing. If you're watching live, you're not going to get to hear them because I recorded them earlier. So we got a couple special guests. Some of it has to do with the sort of major but not huge redesign we launched this week. We're still working on it, but it's live now. If you haven't seen it on the site, things look a little bit different. They look a little bit better, I think. So I've got our lead designer on to talk about that. That's going to be super cool. So again, if you're watching live, you're going to have to come back later and listen to the audio-only version and basically listen to us twice. Because I don't know about you guys, but I think Jerry's worth it.
I don't.
Oh,
it's just me.
Fine. So I got that, and I got Joe Braidwood from SwiftKey, because that's some of the big app news this week, with SwiftKey going free. We'll talk about that briefly as we lead into it. What?
Joe and David make it worth listening twice.
Absolutely. So, so we're doing things a little different this week. It's going to be fun, but I definitely want to start with the Samsung stuff. They had the event Thursday night in New York. I actually had to skip out on that and come home because we had a stomach bug going through my house, and I was fortunate enough to escape it, but the problem was everybody else didn't, so I came home early to take care of the wife and kids. But I was there for a briefing and got to play with the tablets, so let's talk about them a little bit. We've got an 8.4-inch tablet, and we've got a 10.5-inch tablet, and as I said in the hands-on, they're ridiculously thin and ridiculously light, and the displays are really, really nice. And they're back to using AMOLED displays again, which is very cool.
Which makes me happy, because I'm an AMOLED fan, but for a while LCD was just clearly superior. Samsung can put them back on, you know, the top list.
I didn't realize... go ahead.
It feels like over the past year or so, we've reached a point now where AMOLED is kind of up there in terms of brightness and daylight visibility, which is something it struggled with before, and probably one of the reasons why you didn't see it on tablets between, I think it was... the end of 2011, there was the original line of Galaxy Tabs, and then there was basically nothing until the new Tab S range. So, it's good to see it making a comeback.
Yeah, it was the Galaxy Tab 7.7, which I think was the first one to use.
That's the one, yeah.
AMOLED. Yeah, and honestly, let's talk about this, because a lot of people are saying, does Samsung make too many tablets? And you couldn't get me to name them all. I can't keep up with them. And especially because you have, Jerry just did the review of the Tab 4?
The Tab 4, yes.
Which is actually an 8-inch tablet, and I used it for a few days. I mean, it's nice, there's nothing wrong with it, but you have that, and then you have the Pro line, and then you have the Note line, the Tab Note line, and now we have the Tab S, which, as it was described to me, those were our previous flagships. this is our new flagship. It's like,
I mean, the issue with me, for me, isn't so much that they you have the Tab 4 line and the Tab S line, because the, you know, the Tab with a number after it has generally been the mid-range offering,
right?
You know, a little bit more affordable. The confusing thing is, well, or just the thing that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, is that you have the Tab Pro line, which was barely 6 months ago at this point, announced at CES, and now you have something taking over from that that is different in a lot of ways, but kind of similar in others, and the branding is different, and it's just a little bit of a mess.
I don't pretend to remember any of that. I mean, we see too many devices anyway, but I'm just like, stick it in front of me, I'm gonna tell you what I think about it. I'm having a hard time, I really am having a hard time kind of keeping these in context a little bit. So the Note ones are the ones with the S Pen, and these new ones don't have the S Pen, so it's safe to assume we will probably get something with an S Pen at some point later this. When was the last time we had Notes? Was that IFA last year?
So yeah, IFA, we got the Samsung Galaxy Note 10.1-2014 edition.
So, with a horrible name, that's right.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's so much going on. Does Samsung make too many tablets? The question is, for me, when you ask that is, well, I don't know. I mean, it's not even a question, that's an answer.
I mean, Samsung doesn't so much make, it's not so much that they make too many tablets, it's just that they make a lot of everything.
Yeah.
They're the sort of company where if you pick a screen size and a price point, they want to have a mobile product that suits you there. And they do, you know, they've been doing the same in phones for years and years now. It's, I guess there was maybe this weird sort of interim between, you know, the first Note 10.1 and the Tab Pro, where there wasn't really a high-end Samsung tablet that you could buy, aside from maybe the Nexus 10. So maybe they're just getting caught up with themselves now. Maybe they do just plan to have a really, really rapid you know, cycle for replacing these things, and we'll have to see how they, how that continues over the next year, I guess.
There's,
you know, the way I see it is, as long as they can support all of them, and they're all good, and like Phil said, I just looked at the Tab 4, which is their bottom end, and it's still good. It's good tablet for the price, in my opinion. But as long as they can take care of all of them, and they don't just get left by the wayside, make as many as you want. Alex hit it on the head. You pick a screen size and a price point, Samsung has a tablet for you. And if Samsung didn't just do this shotgun approach, we wouldn't have the Note today.
Yeah.
True.
It's, I don't think they make too many. If they were losing money, then yes, they would be making too many. Because for Samsung, at the end of the day, that's the goal, right? If it's too many for Phil to keep up with, Samsung doesn't care about that. I guarantee right. You Samsung doesn't care about that. In fact, I walked into the meeting and they said, Phil, we don't care that we made another one and you're confused. We're making it anyway. It's, I mean, that's the answer, right? Is if Samsung says we're going to make this because we're going to make, you know, X amount of dollars on it, then they're going to do it, and they should do it.
So, did they talk very much about the distinction between Tab Pro and Tab S?
Negative. Because that was.
It seems like they could have just used the same branding as they did earlier in the year, which kind of adds to the confusion, really, because you know, you have Tab S and Tab Pro, and it's not kind of immediately obvious which one is the higher end one if you were to just come across those names as a normal person.
Those were flagship tablets. This is our new flagship tablet. that was the party line. No, and what you get, it's, tablets are weird for me. And I don't know, see if you guys think this way too. It's not that they're all the same, but they're all kind of the same, right? A tablet I see is just this big slab to present things to me, whether it's, for me, it's games and movies and sometimes books. I prefer the smaller tablets to the larger ones, and I was talking with some, and call them colleagues, you know, people from other sites and people at Samsung, you know, talking about this the other day, and it's, yeah, you know, I think I prefer the 8.4 inch just because it's easier to hold, it's a good size. We talked about this as, you know, we get to the rumored HTC tablet and supposedly Nexus 8 and whatever. You know, I think I prefer that smaller 7-8 inch size, or the G-Pad 8.3, which I've got laying around here somewhere. I definitely prefer that over the 10 inch tablet. And I prefer the UI to be just simple. Like, I don't need all the smartphone stuff on a tablet. But on a smartphone, I like having all that extra stuff. And I don't know why. I'm not sure what it is about the larger screen size that makes that difference for me. Are you guys that way at all?
Yeah, I think it comes across as just, you're putting smartphone stuff on a tablet in exactly the same way. It's, I guess part of it is you just have so much space to fill that you can't really just you'd have to cram so many widgets and so many icons in there that it would just make it would just be a total mess anyway. It wouldn't make an awful lot of sense. I don't know, and this is kind of why I mean Samsung, I guess, is moving slowly away from the magazine type setup now. But that's one of the things, one of the promising things I saw about the old magazine UI, in that it isn't just okay, here's a bunch of icons on a screen, just like you would get on the phone. They're actually starting to do something a little bit more interesting with the bigger screens.
Get out of my head, Phil, because exactly. I use a tablet the same for the same things you do, and agree that I don't need all the extras that I want in a smart mobile device in the tablet that I use in bed or on the couch.
Now that said, and Alex brought up the magazine UI that was on in the pros, right. See, I can't even keep those straight. So they've gone a little beyond that, and I need to look it up and see exactly what the name was. I just forget all of a sudden. So they've kind of gone beyond that magazine UI, and they have all these new widgets that will pull in these different parts of what's going on there. I tell you guys, it looks really nice. Whether it's, you know, like a briefing agenda widget that butts up alongside their Paper Garden widget, which is their basically newsstand clone. I'm looking through the hands-on right now. And it looks really compelling, and I can't wait to actually sit down and try it. Because for all the Samsung stuff that I generally don't use on the phone, it's presented really well on these larger screens. And I'm really curious to see how I react to it and how you guys react to it, too.
I know. I watched as a consumer last night, because I take Thursdays off and you all had it under control. One thing that I did notice that I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of, Samsung should have talked about their other products and where this new product fits in. That would have also served to let people know who are watching and say, ooh, I can't afford a $500 tablet. That Samsung makes other offerings that are still good, and here's the differences between the two. They kind of left that out and presented their new products last night in a bubble as if no other products existed.
Maybe that's a fair point. On the other hand, like we were saying, Samsung just makes so much of everything that maybe it's difficult to kind of isolate a new product and, you know, then what do you kind of contrast it with? I mean, I guess you could say maybe the Tab 4 range, but then if you mention them, you kind of have to mention your other tablets, which were released and announced around the same time, and it gets a bit messy with, you know, trying to distinguish your new flagship from your old flagship.
It would have gotten a little messy, that's for sure.
Oh, by the way, the UI is called Content Home. And look at the price points, right? We'll have to see where everything else kind of falls around it. And I forget what the price point of that Tab 4 was, Jerry. But, I mean, $399 and $499 for these, I don't think that's unreasonable.
No, it's not. And by the way, the Tab 4 was, I think, they're on sale now for $259.
Right. That's probably about right. Nope. I mean, these are high-end tablets with beautiful displays.
Well, there's $100 more worth of screen on that thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I don't think that anybody overcharges anymore for tablets. I think they used to several years ago, but not now.
Yeah. The Paper Garden was kind of interesting. I'm not crazy about the name, but I get you have to name things. But, I mean, essentially, it's a deal with Condé Nast that brings all the Condé Nast publications on board. We'll have to see what other ones you can get. But it's like, okay, Google Play has Newsstand and all these magazines in there, and that's great, but here's ours. And for me, when I heard that, it's just like, all right, here's one more duplication that's off the Google reservation if and when it comes time to go nuclear. Am I being paranoid about that, or...?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they've got rid of the whole... a lot of their content hub, haven't they? You know, the Samsung Music and movies kind of setup.
Well, I mean, they got rid of music. They got rid of music, but they have Milk
Music. Sure, I mean, yeah, there's
that. One of you is going to have to turn down your speakers who doesn't have headphones, because I can hear myself. Alex. I look at Alex.
But back to that paranoid thing, Phil. How many devices would Samsung sell without Google Play on board? That's something that nobody likes to consider.
Right.
Google is a big part of Samsung's success, just like Samsung is a big part of Google's. So don't scare the people into thinking that Samsung's going to go nuclear, as you put it.
No. And I freely admit I think I'm being paranoid about that. Look, and some teasing phone got announced, was it last week or whatever, in Russia, and suddenly see all these headlines that are, you know, is Samsung finally going to do it? And it's like, no, they're not. It's one phone. It's not taking on Android. It's just this one thing in Russia right now. So, I don't, again, it's interesting that they did this separate newsstand, but no, I agree that it's not like the end of the world or anything. It was just interesting.
By the way, everyone else does that anyway. If you look at what Sony does with their ecosystem, you know, even HTC was doing it for a while. Mm-hmm. It's easy to point Samsung out because they're the biggest, and if they were to go nuclear, it would have the biggest impact on Google. But I don't know. I don't see the signs there.
Good point. It's a good point. And you know what? Who's to say? Ooh, I can still hear myself. Who's to say that they can't use that stuff in the Tizen devices? Right? Will that port over?
I think just about anything will port over if you try.
So I guess it makes sense in that respect. You know, you've got, basically, when you look at these things, look at a big Galaxy S5. That's kind of what it is, with a tweaked UI for these larger displays. They also have SideSync 3.0, which is more relevant for us here in North America. That's the one where it will actually mirror your phone, like the display on your phone turns off, and then you can see it right there on the screen, kind of in a multi-window thing, and it's kind of cool. They pretty much aped Q-Pair from LG, which, you know, you get a phone call on your phone, and it'll forward it over to the tablet, so you can, you know, which is actually really cool if you think about it. And even when LG announced it back at IFA, I don't really think I got it back then. And it kind of clicked last night as I was watching the presentation. I'm sitting on the couch, my phone's sitting somewhere else and it rings. I don't have to get up and get the phone. And that's kind of awesome. I like that idea. I don't think I would, you know, use it as a dedicated phone, but that's kind of cool. Outside of North America, you'll actually be able to get cellular versions that can make phone calls. And remember that iconic picture of Alex with the tablet up to his head. You'll be able to do that. But not here in North America, and we're all kind of used to that. And frankly, I'm okay with that. What about you guys? You okay with that?
Your volume, like, went way down.
My volume went way down. Yeah. How about now?
A little better.
Oh, weird. Well,
but yes, I'm okay with that.
What else? I'm trying to remember. 8-megapixel camera on the back, 2 on the front.
Do you want to talk about some of these crazy accessories we have, like that magnetic folding case thing?
These things are crazy, but they're cool and they work. And the crazy thing isn't that there are these accessories and that. You know, they're book covers, right? There's a simple cover, there's a book cover. But what's crazy is how they connect. There are no, you know, magnets to clip them onto it because we're talking plastic, right? So they have these little snaps in the back, and you physically have to kind of push hard to get it on there, but it works. I don't know how, but it works. I mean, I know how it snaps.
My question for you, since you've touched them.
Yes.
How do the snaps feel when you're not using a cover? Is it going to...
Just fine.
Is it something that you're going to...
No, you're not going to notice. The back is done in this kind of weird suede / faux leather thing. I think it's a little nicer than what's in GS5, especially in the blue and gold colors. It just feels a little bit different. Still has dimples, but they're a little less pronounced, I think. Really, really nicely done. The snaps are, it's incredible. Like, you can shake the tablet from the cover, and the tablet won't go flying out. They're really, really strong, and you have to kind of push hard to get them in there and pull hard to take them out, but you're not going to break anything, and it works. My only thing about those was, especially with the 10.5, with the book cover, you have three angles that you can, you know, so like three different degrees that you can raise the thing up to either watch movies, read, or type. And those were a little tricky for me, and flat out said, yeah, you're going to need to practice that a little bit and get the hang of it. There is, if you find, I had a picture of it, I think, in one of the galleries, there's a little cheat sheet on the book cover that will explain it for you. But that will take a little getting used to. But I tell you, it works really well. And then there's the keyboard. So almost like an Asus Transformer. It doesn't serve as a battery. It doesn't physically plug in. So it's just a Bluetooth keyboard like what Logitech has. And in fact, Logitech came out with its own $99 keyboard for this. So we should be able to take a look at that as well. It's cool to see this full tablet ecosystem now from Samsung that surprisingly they hadn't done before and that really nobody but the iPad has done yet, right?
maybe they were waiting for the right tablet to do it, and these are it.
Maybe. I think they also kind of admitted that, you know what, we were kind of farting around with tablets, and now we're doing it right. So there's something to be said about that.
Well, I'm interested in checking one out, simply because I love AMOLED screens.
It's really nice. I mean, if you've used AMOLED, the blacks are really black, the right. whites are really white.
I know Phil, and if the screens weren't really good, Phil would send me a message to say, man, these screens suck.
Yeah, and so, look, I mean, we're in a hotel. It's not all that light in there, so the screens are going to look really nice. They did have the demo area, did have some lights, which were kind of off and on for us to be taking pictures. But yeah, the screens looked really nice. I will probably use an 8-inch of this. I'm real curious, thinking about it, because we have these rumors of this 8-inch HTC tablet, and all I can think about then is boom sound. I'm real curious to see how these speakers sound. I didn't get a good feel for that yet, so we'll have to wait on that. If and when HTC comes out with a new tablet that has proper speakers like that, that might be a game changer for me. I don't know. I thought it would take a lot to get me to put down a Nexus 7, because I still love the Nexus 7. I still love the simple experience of a Nexus tablet, but these are really, really nice. And $400 for the 8-incher, I kind of think I have to get one.
One sec before we move on.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is the line in the sand for developers out there. Look, now you have a tablet that not only equals, possibly exceeds the best offerings from other companies. Now Samsung presents a top-of-the-line tablet. Let's build some apps that look and work really good on them.
That includes us.
I know phone apps all work, and that's great. I want all my apps to work, but I also want some really killer tablet-centric apps.
Amen. No, and that includes us. We still have to clean ours up for that, too. So.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I would use, but it looks incredible on an iPad. It looks and works really well. There's no reason that can't be done on Android.
Absolutely. You want to do some Q&A on all this? The kids have questions. Let's see. I say that. I saw some. Where'd they go? Derek asks, how do the tablets compare to the Tab Pro? Again, you're talking different, and I think that's almost more of a branding thing at this point. Like, they said, Tab Pro name's not working. Here's what we're going to use from now on. Because the specs are a little newer, the displays are obviously nicer, and I have a feeling it's just going to be more of a branding thing than anything else. Mm. This is the new flagship.
I mean, the focus really was the screen, wasn't it? If you look at the specs really aren't that different at all compared to the Tab Pro, the cellular version, I think, actually has the same CPU. It's a Snapdragon 800 in both of them. So, I guess it's thinner and lighter as well. The Tab Pros were kind of chunky. So maybe that's your answer.
Yeah. I'm going to go down to the bottom now. Derek wants to know, what's the best Android tablet you can get that's over 8 inches? Probably one of the Samsung ones.
Well, best is hard, too.
Yeah. One of the Samsung ones or... one's worth a look if it's actually out where you live. The Sony Xperia Z2 tablet, which is it's a 1080p tablet, but it's really, really thin, really nice, very, very light.
And the flip side of that is the Tab 4 is a budget model, and it's cheap as hell in 10 inches.
Yeah.
It's a really great tablet for $300.
Was it 10 inches?
They make a 7, an 8, and a 10.1.
Right, right.
We looked at the 8.
Joel asks, so where's my Galaxy S5 Prime? Have no idea what you're talking about.
We ran a couple stories on that, I think, over the past couple of weeks. There's a Samsung phone with a 2K display that's going to be heading around at some point. It's looking more likely, but I mean, as to when that's going to be, who knows? I think, Samsung knows better than to immediately one-up the S5, I think, regardless of what they're working on. And I think it's probably more likely that you'll get something around about the same time as the Note that's maybe Note-level specs with Note-class display resolution. And, it's a little bit later in the year, so it's a bit more stomachable for people who splashed out on the S5.
Derek wants to know, is there a keyboard case for the Tab S 8.4? Yes, there is. I haven't seen it. I've only used it on the 10.5. And even then, I think they only had dummies there. I'm trying to remember because I used a couple. But yeah, so I mean, we'll get a better feel for those when we get more time. This fits here. Jeff wants to know, why do you guys hate hardware home buttons and capacitive buttons? I hate searching for the menu in an app. I can't imagine life without a menu button. For me, it's the consistency. I like the flexibility of on-screen buttons more. And when everybody does it the same way, I think the apps are better. It's that consistency in the apps. And, you know, you shouldn't have to hunt for a menu button. They should all consistently be in the same spot, I think. Apps should generally work the same way.
Agreed about the menu button. As far as physical and capacitive, I don't hate. I think I've got the S5 Active here. I love the physical buttons. I do not like a mix of the three different styles where you have capacitive and then one physical. And then in some apps, you still have overflows. That I hate.
I agree with that. I think I like the way the Active works, and it says this is an active phone, whatever that means. And here are the button, and here are these three physical buttons you have to push. For me, that works. Completely agree. Are you going to say something, Alex?
I was just going to say I'm mostly fine with any kind of button setup, just because I use a lot of phones anyway. But I think as long as you give me a task switching button, I'm fine. I think everyone mostly does that now anyway. But there used to be a time when you jump from phone to phone and you wouldn't be able to switch tasks easily. And that's one thing that I felt really kind of slowed me down.
For me, it's weird. I mean, it's not like pushing a physical button as hard. I've got a GS5 somewhere. Or here's the GS4 Active. It's not that pushing a physical button is hard, but I think when you have that mix, there's just something in my brain that, you know, my thumb just doesn't quite know which one it's going to do. I don't know. There's something weird about it. Maybe it's just my brain. I don't know. Is it just my brain?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess it probably should feel weird jumping between three different kinds of buttons. Maybe I just use too many Samsung phones that no longer affects me. I don't know.
And maybe it's just because we bounce back and forth between so many devices. I think if you use one for long enough, you're going to be perfectly fine with it. And we probably would too. So
I just wish the phone answer and hang up physical buttons would come back on some phone somewhere. I love those. When you're outside in the winter, answer your phone by hitting the green button.
The only thing I want back is my old Trio ringer switch.
Yeah.
Not the way that Apple does it, but the old school Palm Trio on, off, sounds, ringer, whatever. That was the way it should be, period. I know people out there remember that. I know they agree.
Oh, I do. That one of the few things I liked about that whole series of smartphone era mess, yuck.
We have secret meetings where we just talk about that switch. Go find Dieter. Well,
Trio, we'll talk about it. Group.
Yeah, basically.
You, Derek, and Dieter, and nobody else.
Those were the days. let's see. Anything else in the tab? I'm trying to think what I'm forgetting.
So you can go buy one now. Out for everyone.
Well, you can pre-order. You can't buy it just yet.
You can give Samsung your money. You can't actually get a tab yet.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too long. They're saying July, which is good. So I like to see that come out quickly. I'm excited for these.
Right away?
Yeah, I think all the U.S. carriers have announced for it. AT&T didn't say which ones they're getting. They just said, yes, we're going to carry the Tab S. And I'm like, well, they're two. Which one? Yes, we are going to carry the Tab S. Fine. So I don't know. I think Verizon's doing the 10.
That's something you really have with the pros, is it? I think the reception to that with the carriers was a little bit more cautious. So maybe that's promising there.
Usually they hang back and then eventually somebody says, hey, by the way, we've got an LTE version of this tablet. And it's like, all right, cool, thanks. So, yeah, I mean, not too worried about that. Just don't buy a tablet on contract. Please don't do it.
No. Resist that urge.
Yeah. Don't start a new line. And well, I mean, if you need to start a new line to do it. But don't buy it on contract.
And if you buy one that's LTE, even if you use another service, visit a T-Mobile store and get your free SIM card for that little bit of free every month, too, in case of emergency.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always forget that, but You can just put it in your wallet, and in case you ever need it, you've got a little bit.
You want to talk G3 for just a short minute?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit of G3. So we did a review last week, and one of the things we pointed out was kind of, on, especially on this one, on the the Korean one that I was using, pre-production software, a little bit of lag just on the home screen and in various animations going between things. And today we've had updates for this one on the Korean carrier I'm using, and Phil, you've had one as well, I think, haven't you?
Yes.
So first update for this, I think, it's probably likely all the Korean carriers are getting at the same time. And actually, the performance improvement has been pretty significant on this one. I mean, I should say I've actually, I did actually update this with a factory image that I basically found on the internet after finishing the review, and that seemed to improve performance a little bit as well. But this is the official update that's gone out to all the devices, and it's a, I think, a big improvement to what I was seeing on the pre-production software that I was using. So that was the biggest problem that I had with this phone, and it's basically now fixed. So I think we'll be revisiting the review a little bit and just give some updated impressions on that, and I'll be getting a European G3 as well in the next few days to take a look at. So, we'll have more to say on the G3 pretty soon.
Yeah, I had been using NotCode, and I finally turned it off because it was just, it would usually take 3 or 4 tries for it to actually work for me, completely taken care of with this update. So that's good to know. I really do like the hell out of this phone. It's still really big. So, like, if I pick this up and then I pick up the Moto X, I love the Moto X size. But G3 is a really, really, really good phone, guys. Especially, for the camera. I'm not going to say you can't beat it, because I think GS5 is right up there. And Sony's probably pretty much up there, too. But really, really good camera. Really, really good feel. And I totally get used to the buttons on the back. So, again, I'm excited. And it's still not even available. So, we're going to have to keep talking about it for a while, I think. Jerry, are you going to want one?
Yeah. People ask me why the past couple weeks I sit here and I don't say anything when we're talking about the G3. I have a set of blinders on. I do not want Phil and Alex's experience to spoil mine in any way, because I think there's a real potential for this to be the best device of the year. And I can't wait to get one and just do everything I can to it and find out. Because I love the G2. It's not my daily carrier phone because it's a little bigger than I want it to be, but I loved that phone, so I can't wait to see the G3.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, the only thing that put me off this, and the main reason that I kind of held back a little bit in the review, is just the fact that the software wasn't quite up there. So to have this, the G3 now with all its features, with the buttons on the back, with the great battery life, and with the animations now fixed, it's turned into a really awesome phone, I think.
Be excited for it if you like big
phones. T-Mobile, AT&T, hurry.
I know, right? Let's talk a minute about Igloo and Igloo software, not the thing made of ice up in the Arctic, but the software. Igloo software, it is bringing task management to the intranet. But how is another task management system actually going to help you get work done, Jerry? Because seriously, you have work to do.
There's a lot of improvements for, some of the task managers. I like a lot of what I see on Igloo's homepage.
So think about this. Think about this. We have all these various pieces we're doing, right, that aren't necessarily part of one project. Right. Just kind of floating around out there. So that's kind of where Igloo comes in, right? Make it easy by keeping all this stuff just directly in, not quite a vertical silo, but so much easier. You don't need just one project, one task list, but you can use them if you want, which is nice. So on the rare occasion that I do actually get my stuff together and we have real projects, it certainly comes in handy with that. You have content tasks. So if a document needs edits or if it's ready to go out, you can see it all right there. If you have recurring meetings, everything you talked about last week, you can see what was done, what wasn't done, nice little checklist. It's all just right there. Really, really good stuff. We're going to have to get it organized, Jerry. We have to do it.
Well, that's it. Who doesn't benefit from a little more organization?
My brain.
Oh, well, your brain doesn't count. Your brain and my brain are off at the Trio members meeting group or something.
And if, say, I were to assign you a task, right? It could be a project list, it could be just content, or even just something like, hey, Jerry, I need you to do this. It just shows up all in one spot. And for me, that's always been the big thing. It's like, I don't need everything in 30 places. I need the Phil page. And the Phil page says, here's what Phil's supposed to do. Done. And then I don't do them. But that's on me. That's not the task manager. That's my fault. Can't see me frowning. So, and that's all there. It's all part of Igloo's latest update called Unicorn. You should definitely check it out. And you can do it at igloosoftware.com/android. Jerry's doing it right now, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I've looked at it before and talked to you about this. I think I really want to give this one a whirl.
So, again, everything you need kind of in one spot. Really nice, simple ways to keep track of what you're supposed to be doing and what everybody else is supposed to be doing if you're like me and you're in charge. And occasionally that happens. So go to igloosoftware.com/android to get started. All right, I want to talk about some app stuff. And we got a couple big things. Actually, the first one I want to talk about is 1Password, because I'm big on password managers. I don't, you know, even if you don't use 1Password, there's LastPass. There are a whole bunch of really good ones out there. 1Password this week finally got a big Android update. And instead of just the reader app, you can actually edit and, you know, move around and reorganize your entries. That's a big deal, and it's free until August. After August 1st, you're going to have to pay for that stuff, and it will revert back to a reader, but it's an actually, you know, now it's a properly good Android app. So if you haven't started using a password manager, and if you never have, we're going to do a thing on this, Jerry. Basically, it controls all your passwords. I don't even know what my passwords are anymore, right? I just have 1Password create a really tough, unique, non-human readable password. And then it stores it. It takes care of it. I hop into the app. I copy it. And I paste it wherever it needs to go in Android. And you're good to go. And it's really good on the desktop, especially for Mac users, which is where 1Password got its start. So now it has a proper Android app. And thank you. It's about time. Apparently, I'm the only one who has anything to say about that.
If I say anything, Alex will show me pictures of hats on your head. So,
but seriously, if you're not using a password manager, go try one. It's a weird feeling giving up that control of your passwords, but I just need to know one now. I don't have to remember, you know, 600, and it keeps me from reusing the same ones over and over again. I'm so glad I did it. You know, whether it's 1Password, LastPass, whatever, just go try one. Absolutely.
And it's I may have my own ideas about centralized password management, but Phil hit it on the head. It's better than using the same damn password on every site on the internet, because one of them's going to get hijacked, and then somebody has your password for everything else.
What is your philosophy?
If I use LastPass and somebody is able to get into the cloud and get the document with all my passwords, they only need to crack 1Password to have them all.
That's true.
Mm. Well, yeah, you're still looking at if you talk about having 1Password that you use everywhere, and then 1 central password that you know, controls all these other passwords, then essentially you're still looking at 1 point of failure, right?
Right. Hopefully, you know, 1Password's a whole lot more, you know, guarded. I'm sure their database and the encryption is not easy.
Well, here's the thing with 1Password. They don't actually store them all. You can store them locally if you want, just on your phone. But actually, I use Dropbox for mine, and it's set up to use Dropbox. So it's, you know, it's still all encrypted, and it's just sitting right there, and I just sync it back over. So you would have to either somehow, I guess, get into 1Password on my phone, but you would also have to be able to get into Dropbox somehow if you were doing it externally. So I'm not saying nothing bad's ever going to happen, and God help us all if it does, but I'm pretty, you know, comfortable with it just as an everyday user.
Well, I accept the pictures of cats with tinfoil hats on their head. I know why. Because it's probably very safe, and it's not going to come back to bite you in the butt. But somebody has to think this way.
Oh, so absolutely. No, and I'm sure they do too.
And there's nothing stopping you from having one or two things outside 1Password.
Yeah.
There's, you know, crucial things like for us, it would be a Google account, maybe, or online banking stuff.
You know, plus Dropbox has double encryption. You know, it has the, not double encryption, but it has 2-step, and, you know. So it's
a great Android app. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll switch.
You should try it. I would like to hear, you should try it this week, Jerry, because I just want to hear what you think. especially.
I use M-Secure because I can sync locally from machine to machine on the same LAN, and I don't have to go to the cloud. But I'll switch. I'll give it a try.
Give it a try. Let me know.
And if I end up shaking and crying in the middle of the night with fear that somebody's going to get my passwords, you can pull me through.
Other big piece of software news, at least for me this week, was SwiftKey going free. That's kind of a huge deal. Yep. I mean, this has been one of the top paid apps on Android for a while now, for like a year or so. Yeah, maybe forever. You know, really, really good prediction software in this thing. Long time, you know, favorite keyboard. There's been SwiftKey and Swipe and one or two others, but this has been right up there. And it is finally free, right? There's now just one version of it. No more tablet version, no more, you know, trial version. It's just free. If you've bought the keyboard in the past, they give you 10 free themes. That's the other big new thing. They now have this theme store where you can go buy themes. They're 99 cents each. Or you get packs for, I think it's $2.99, $3.99, I forget how much, just a few dollars. I'm not crazy about themes. I just want one that I like, and generally their default one has been really good for me.
And they have a new default one now, don't they?
Yeah, they switched from
Cobalt. It's really, really nice, and bit sort of, what's the word? A little bit more depth to it, I think. A little bit more in fitting with the way Android is now as opposed to where it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, here's what we're going to do. So I talked to their CMO, Joe Braidwood, whom I've known for since I started this job, basically. Talked to him for about 15 minutes earlier this week, and let's just listen to that now, shall we? All right, so we're going to do something a little fun this week. We are here with Joe Braidwood from SwiftKey. Joe, what is your official title now? Like, you and I talk all the time, but...
Chief Marketing Officer. It's what it's always been, actually.
Oh, then I should have known it. That makes it easy. Joe and I, if you haven't seen, we had Joe on stage at CES as part of the that big broadcast we did. Joe and I go way back to, I think we tell the story every time we get together, way back to Mobile World Congress like 13 years ago or something. That was like 5 years ago. Yeah. But a little bit of news with you guys. Actually, I don't even want to talk about the Android news first. Let's. And I know you're going to yell at me because this is coming on hot on the heels of your big announcement this week. But let's back up a little bit to iOS in the WWDC keynote, because that's a huge deal for you guys. Third-party keyboards on iOS. That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really a significant change of strategy. For the first time ever from this fall, folks on iPhones, iPads, iPod Touches can change their keyboard. Who knew that would happen?
I mean, it's something we'd all kind of hoped for a long time, because it's obviously a feature we've enjoyed in Android since forever. I mean, as long as I've been using it. What is it about SwiftKey that are you bringing over in that experience? Is it basically going to be like, hey, here's our Android keyboard. It's just on iOS now. Is there something different about the experience?
You know, it's still quite early. It was only last week that this was announced. And obviously, we are absolutely committed to bringing the coolest possible SwiftKey experience to iOS users, because you know we are all about making the world a better place in terms of the frustrations that you suffer on a daily basis when typing, and we shouldn't just want to confine that to Android now that iOS is going to allow us to do something. So you know, what we're trying to do right now is figure out what it means for us in terms of porting our technology across to that platform. We've already been working on a number of things. You know, we launched an iOS app in January with a partnership with Evernote called SwiftKey Note, which allows folks to take notes using our technology. So this is just a kind of an extension of that. Obviously, it's much more exciting because now you can change your keyboard across the whole device. But yeah, slightly early in terms of what that exactly is going to look like, but we'll be sure to keep you posted.
Awesome prediction, though.
Awesome prediction, gesture input. Those things will definitely be there.
Cool. So we will check back with you as we get closer, I guess, to the fall when they release iOS 8, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool. So let's kind of transition into the big Android news. I'm not sure which is bigger, but I'll start with the obvious one. SwiftKey is free!
We've set it free. That lovely keyboard that you've all been so fond of is now something which you don't have to get your friends' credit cards out in bars to get on their phone. They can just have it.
Are you going to go broke for this? Are you going to be eating peanut butter sandwiches the rest of your life now?
You know, I love peanut butter sandwiches, Phil, but I think that this is much more about doing something really ambitious than it is about eating peanut butter. This is about allowing everyone who has Android and everyone who has iOS when we get there to access our technology in a way that really works for them. And one of the things that we're really trying to do on Android is reach users in places where we're not able to currently reach them. And so that, I think, just taking all the barriers we can away from being able to give folks a better typing experience is exactly what we're trying to do here. That also said, you know, there are you know, hundreds and hundreds of our users that have voted on our community for you know, the ability to access themes and the ability to customize the experience more. So that's why we're sort of twinning this with the ability to say, well, here you go. There's now 30 free themes and 20 additional paid if you've bought SwiftKey in the past, or you know that 10 pack of premier themes for folks who've paid for us in the past is $5 for new users. You know, giving as much customization as we can to folks in terms of those themes, building out that content moving forward. It's a really exciting time for our users.
And beyond that, and I'm sitting here looking at the new keyboard now, which you graciously let me take a look at in beta. I think it looks even better. As a standalone app itself, it's gotten so much better over the years, and this is probably the best iteration now, right?
Absolutely. I mean, why would we be doing anything other than our best work? You know, this is the proudest we've ever been of what we've built, and it just looks and feels great. We've built out a really, really solid design team in the company, and they are really getting to grips with some of the parts of the product that needed a bit of polish and a bit of beautification. And you know, that starts with the thing that most new users to SwiftKey will see before anything else, which is this new theme Nickel, which is a kind of an evolution, if you will, of where we got to with Cobalt, the previous default theme. That's why it's called Nickel. It's next to Cobalt on the periodic table. A little nerdism for you all, but you know, just smoother edges, slightly sharper color highlights, and just this sense of something which is uniquely SwiftKey, and that's what we're really going for.
Now, whenever something goes from paid to free, you immediately have people just screaming, well, I already paid for this. This isn't fair. I hate you. Ah. You guys have done something about that here, right?
Yeah, well, we've done a couple of things about that. Firstly, you know, the most annoying thing that a company can ever do is take things away. So there is nothing in this product that's been taken away. We're building on everything that was available in the paid products. And so the core experience for anyone who loves SwiftKey and who uses it on a daily basis is going to remain the same and just grow from that core premise, which is actually super exciting for folks who are coming to it now, because they get all those great features that made us the best-selling app on Android for $0, which is awesome. But yeah, of course, moving beyond that, anyone who has paid for the app in the past, we're giving them, as a thank you for your loyalty and support over the years, this premier pack of 10 of our greatest new theme designs from the premium side for absolutely nothing. And that's just a way of saying thank you. You can buy that pack if you're not a paid user, and it costs $4.99, which is more than anyone would have ever paid for SwiftKey. So, you know, again, it's just a way of saying thanks.
What's next?
What's next?
Bring some news here again.
You know, I can absolutely... I can absolutely tell you that we are committed to building Android out as a platform, and nothing has changed about that since the news last week from Apple. That said, you know, this is a really exciting time for us, and we want our users to help us determine what's next. So we are listening. We've got an incredible community of users out there. Please tell us what you'd love to see coming in the product. One thing we're definitely going to do is focus on building more of these beautiful themes for you, and more other features that sort of allow you to customize things. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of work still to be done. So let's bring it on.
In a great beta community as well, by the way, which is how you're getting all this great feedback, right?
Yeah, this has been something that we've done since the start. You know, when we first sort of started working with you guys back in 2010, Phil, it was about trying to build out a great set of users who are passionate about Android to help us build a fantastic product. So, you know, we partnered with you guys in building our alpha community, can you believe it, back in the day before SwiftKey had even been downloaded by anyone through the Android market as it was. And today that still rings true. We have over 100,000 registered members of our VIP community. They're incredible people who help us build our products and help us refine the quality of our products. And that's absolutely been true through this process as well.
this is kind of the consumer public version of all this. Now, you've got other, I'll call them business ventures that Swiftkey as a company has done with healthcare. You had something beyond healthcare, right?
We've had a few vertical ideas, some in assistive technology, some in healthcare, and obviously we've been working closely with a number of OEMs such as Samsung on helping them to improve the core experience of typing on their devices. But really, I think what this launch really represents for us, SwiftKey version 5, is a solid commitment to our users. And those are the most important people that we deal with. They're the people that make or break the success of us as a company that loves to build adaptive and predictive technology around the keyboard. So, you know, for all the partners that we've had, thank you. But actually, really, it's about you guys. It's about the users.
One of the first questions you'll get when you announce themes is, well, I want to make my own theme. Can I do that? Can I do that with SwiftKey? Is that on a roadmap somewhere?
You know, we're exploring ideas and really we are listening, and we have had that feedback in the past, obviously, because people have wanted to make their own themes for quite a lot of time. I'm not going to say yes or no yet because I don't want to, you know, preempt anything that we do. But what I will say is that we are definitely listening, and that is one of the things we're taking very seriously as an idea.
By the way, I love that you're flying without a net here because you have no idea what I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
That's how we do it.
It's how we roll.
Anything else regarding this initial push, the shift to free? I mean, let's just recap. You got a shift to free, right? So SwiftKey is now free. You don't have to pay for it. For those who have paid for it, you get this premier pack of themes, so 10 themes for free as a thank you.
Yeah. And then there are some other features in the product, which are new in version 5, that are worth briefly recapping. So emoji is one of them. That's been beta'd in our community for some time, and now we're finally in a position where we're giving that to everyone. Now, that's, I guess, for the Android folks out there, the people in Android Central who are really sort of focused on this. This is one of the trickier parts of Android as a platform, because what we all know is that Google have rolled out emoji in a few stages, from Jelly Bean and then into KitKat. Some of them are black and white, some of them are color, some of them look a bit funky. This is something that we're trying to sort of work with our users on. In order to support emoji at a platform level as a keyboard, you have to essentially take the font that is pre-installed on that device. So we don't have much control over the way your emoji looks, sadly. We'd love to design our own ones. Maybe we'll get there one day, but for the time being, that's what Android lets us do. So if you go into SwiftKey and you press the little smiley and you don't see emoji, that means your device doesn't support emoji. If you do see emoji but they're black and white, that means that you have a black and white font on your device. And if you see emoji in their color, that means you have a color font on your device. And that may be different to what you see in particular apps. In particular, Hangouts now has color emoji for anyone with it installed, and WhatsApp uses the Apple font for emoji. So emoji, emoji, emoji. That all said, we have an awesome feature that is part of SwiftKey now with the emoji proposition, which is that you can sort of look up emojis using keywords as you type rather than having to browse through them. So, for example, if you type pizza, you get a slice of pizza in the prediction menu. And if you type burger, you get a burger. You can tell I'm hungry, right? It must be lunchtime. But, you know, this is just something that's really, really cool, because then what happens in addition to that kind of keyword emoji prediction, we're calling it, is you are able to teach SwiftKey the emojis you use with the phrases that you use. And that's super cool, because if you always say, I love you, honey bunny, and then put 26 hearts every time you text your girlfriend or wife, it's going to remember that. The key to this is to enable this feature, going back to the point about not wanting to take anything away or change anything too radically for folks. So if you go into advanced settings in the keyboard, you'll see something called emoji prediction. Check that box and have a play with it. It's pretty fun.
I still think the setup process is just incredible. I mean, you remember how clunky it used to be back in the day, and so smooth now.
Thank you. I mean, it's something that's tough, right? Because, yeah, you know, we're trying to sort of work with a platform where there's a particular way of doing it. And, you know, again, this is going to be something that's going to be interesting with the iOS onboarding, because, you know, right now, the little we do know is that there are sort of hidden settings in the depths of the settings menu that you have to tick and that kind of stuff. On that platform as well. So we're trying to work through that beta. But on SwiftKey for Android, I think we're finally in a position where it's simple and it works pretty well for folks. So hopefully people can get their heads around it.
And I think it's worth a mention, SwiftKey Cloud. I've been just singing from the rooftops lately that if you don't use Google Sign-In properly for things to sync data in any number of reasons why, then you're just doing it wrong. And I think Spliffy Cloud has made just a world of difference, right? So I no longer have to sign into all these things to get all my predictions back. It's just one touch and I'm done. It's there.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's, again, I think fundamental to what we've been trying to do here, which is to build something that's useful and valuable to users that doesn't require them to jump through hoops and enter long strings of text, you know, remember the password for this or that. You know, what we're trying to build is a really, really key and fundamental experience for you, which you can have confidence in and which really finesses your daily life. And that's what SwiftKey is all about.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
You can tell I work in marketing.
I know, right? Well, thank you for spending a few minutes with us here on the podcast. It means a lot to have you back.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You know, we'll keep in touch for the iOS and for what's next with Android. Again, emojis.
It's free. We have an incredible theme store with 50 themes available now in the product and more to come. Emoji prediction with emoji support. And there have been some lovely optimizations to the way that the prediction capability works in the background. So you should just feel a really premium product, except now you don't have to pay for it.
Where can we get this? Google Play? Just search for SwiftKey.
Google Play, search for SwiftKey, and yeah, and away you go.
If anyone needs help, where can they find your forums? Because you've got excellent forums.
Yeah, so with this announcement, we've just finally managed to bring our website across to SwiftKey.com. That was a fun negotiation. You just hit up support.swiftkey.com, and you should be set.
Awesome. Joe Braidwood from SwiftKey, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, guys.
So that's Joe. Joe's awesome. Thanks, Joe.
That was a really insightful conversation, Phil.
Yeah, you like that?
Always love talking to Joe.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, I'm excited for SwiftKey. I think it's a really good thing. I think it's going to get a lot more users and just kind of open good doors.
Responsive development team, too. I mean, they address things right, you know, right away, and they... You know, they see people want features. They put the features in that people have asked for without degrading what makes it good from the beginning. So it's the kind of app I really like.
Yeah, I mean, it's been my go-to keyboard for probably, you know, 2 or 3 years now. And, you know, we try other stuff. A lot of the built-in keyboards are really good these days, but it would take something really great to get me off SwiftKey, I think.
And now with a number row. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yep. And emojis. So that's SwiftKey. One more pre-recorded interview for you this week. And this one's kind of the one I was almost more excited for. By now, you have seen we've redesigned a little bit. We have a new header on the site. It's not a complete site redesign. I think there's a little bit of confusion. You know, hey, why is your site so badly responsive? Well, it's not really responsive. We have a responsive header and everything else is the same and not responsive. And I get that there was a lot of gnashing of teeth, especially when you look at this on a phone or a tablet. It just looks way different. The stories are a little farther down, but we did that on purpose. Everything we've done with this redesign, and it's not like we just, you know, started last week and rolled it out this week. This has been in the works for a long time, and it's part of a larger thing, and this is something I've talked about for weeks now. It's part of a larger redesign we're working on, and it's not going to be ready next week, and it's not going to be ready next month. So bits and pieces we're putting together. So instead of like a whole new site that you have to figure out, we're going to do it bit by bit. And we started with this header. And I tell you, we were looking at some of the numbers already, and I showed Jerry and Alex. We can already see the response, and it's just incredible. The new featured stories up top, people are clicking into them so much more than they clicked into the old feature block that we had with the 7 stories. And we've got 20 stories in there right now. We could put 30 in there if we want. We could put just a whole bunch. It's working really, really well. The burger menu on the right, which is tricky from a design standpoint because it hides stuff back there that otherwise might have been, you know, a little more visible on the front page. But people are using it, and it excites me. It's not perfect yet. We got a lot to work on still, and the tech guys are working their butts off. So what I did was, while I was up in New York this week, I got on the horn with David Lundblad, who's our design director. And let's just listen to that now. And David's going to explain to you, you know, why it is we're doing what we're doing. And it's a really interesting lesson. Okay, so for our next trick, we're going to do things a little differently this week. I am actually up in New York City right now. We're, what, like 10 hours past this kind of major redesign of the site, but kind of not. And I've got on the line here David Lundblad. He's amazeballs. David is our... What is your official title? I just call you Design Dude.
Design Dude is good.
Okay.
I'm the design director for Mobile Nation, so I oversee all of our sites and manage our design team.
So, I mean, it's... I guess I can easily say you were instrumental in this header redesign that we did, because you were and you are. Talk to me a little bit about the purpose behind it, because it's not just like... I mean, yeah, some of it's like change for change's sake, because you always have to redesign and make things better every few years, and you know everybody does that. But like, what was the general idea behind this? Oh my God, here are all these big stories right here at the top of the page, right in my face. Like, what's going on with all this?
Well, okay, so to tackle that, the last thing you said very quickly, for that may be the case for mobile users. They have not seen these feature stories before. The mobile site has gone straight into more of a list view. That might still happen. We're exploring that. But for a desktop user, we're actually massively reducing the size of our featured story block, which previously extended well below the fold of your browser. And we also wanted a way to display many more feature stories. A site like Android Central writes sometimes 40 to 50 articles a day. There's just no way for us to bring up all the great content from the depths of Android Central without creating some sort of carousel that a user can swipe through. But on the bigger scale, this is just a small, small part of the relaunch of all of our sites into a new responsive design and a new design framework that has been developed together with the editorial team since late last year.
Now, you said responsive, so let me stop you there, because it's sort of responsive and sort of not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the case, obviously, because our old site on Android Central is not a responsive site at all. So now we're going to be launching these responsive modules within it, and it may be a little odd at times, because obviously the old site is still going to exist in parts, and those parts are going to be replaced over time. Yeah, but so right now you're going to see a responsive header with a non-responsive site, which could be a little jarring, but bear with us as we go through all these updates.
I think that's the important thing to keep in mind. I mean, people love to freak out in the first minutes after a big change like this. And again, it's just a header, but it is a big change. And you know, I like the feedback. I like any sort of feedback that's constructive. Mm-hmm. I don't like just up and up bitching, because that doesn't help anybody. I don't like this. It's different. All right. Well, fine. Go home.
Right.
You know, actually, my answer to that is not go home. My answer to that is we have all of these other great avenues for reading our content, whether it's the app, whether it's Google Play Newsstand, whether it's just straight RSS that'll take you straight to the stories, or you know, Twitter, however you want. So, I mean, that's my official answer to when somebody says that. It's like, well, hang on a second. We're giving you all of these choices and all these ways to do it, and we're giving you the most important stories right now at the very top of the page. Like, you can't miss them. That's where the, I mean, if I were a power reader, I would love that.
Yeah, I think that's something that I hope that our readers get used to. And the fact that we might have up to 20, 30 stories in that slideshow, and that they will start to enjoy that. From the perspective of the design team, when we sit down to work on this stuff, we always think about the user first, but we also have other stakeholders, right? You know, a website like ours need to take the writers into consideration. We need to look at what you guys need in order to lift your stories up, what you guys need in order to make stories that you write that might have a longer shelf life be able to live longer on the site and be able to be accessible for longer on the site and not buried deep. And there are a bunch of solutions coming out for that as well. So as the site starts changing bit by bit over into the full new design system, hopefully the majority of our users will really like the change. But change is always going to rub some people the wrong way. And I hope that they get around to liking what we do.
And honestly, I think it's going to take some change on our part too as editors. It's not just going to be, all right, here's this review, it's now a featured story, let's put it up in this block. I think we need to rethink the importance of that space. And it's like, all right, how big is the story? Is this story big enough right now to go up there right now? I don't care what else is up there right now. Is this story big? And we're really going to have to change the way we think about this stuff. And not just me, but anyone who, you know, anyone who writes, anyone who edits.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the new design. And we're not seeing so much of that. Obviously, now we're just putting out a new header. But a lot of the other changes throughout the site, on topic pages, on article pages, on the home page itself, on search result pages, within a new comment system that we're designing, all of those changes are made to make a site that it's that is still catered for the kind of day-to-day news stories, but also more catered to a service-minded attitude. So for our readers and new readers to be able to come to the site and immediately find the help that they might be looking for, or find out what is the best phone that they need to be getting right now, what is the latest in the apps. We're going to be pushing out a lot of improvements in those areas as well.
And I've said that before. I mean, it's not that we're not going to do the news anymore. In fact, we're doing more news than we ever have.
That's
we're,
right.
We're just able to present the non-news important stuff and in the important news stuff even quicker, even better. And I think it just looks better too.
Well, I'm excited for the next couple of releases because we are looking at a different way of structuring our stories, so that yes, you'll still have this news feed rolling on the main site, and you'll still be able to read it in the old way that you might prefer. But also realizing that there's a very small percentage of our readers that actually read each and every story one by one in chronological order. What's happening more and more is that people dip in and out, and then they're missing really, really important things. And we need to be put in place designs that allow them to discover the really great content and not just the chronological news order, right?
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I really am. It looks cool. It's so fast on the desktop. We still have some work to do in mobile.
Yes.
But it is so fast on the desktop. If you haven't tried it there yet, please go do it. In fact, I'm just flipping through it right now as we're talking because it looks that good. Wow. And I've been looking at this for weeks along with you and really impressed with how far it's come.
It's nice to see it in movement, right? You see this in flat designs and
wireframes, and it's just not the same.
It's not the same. No, absolutely. Yeah.
And especially when we finally start bringing out these other modules, these other parts of the puzzle that are really going to tie it together, I think. By the way, if you haven't clicked on it, be sure to click on the little burger in the top right because there's some good stuff in there as well, and a nice, easy way to find things, I think.
Yeah, the burger is interesting. There are a lot of discussions going on right now about the validity of hiding things under a menu, and we've listened to all of that, and we've made the decision to have a burger, but also have our burger and eat it at the same time, if you like.
You've been waiting for a while to use that, haven't you?
I just came up with it, and I didn't say it as well as I should have. But anyway, you get the point. And the only reason why you want to be a little wary about using a burger menu is it puts things out of sight, right? So
right.
Out of sight, out of mind. And we know that there are some things that are so important to each of our individual sites. On Android Central, we know that we drive a lot of traffic to how to route your phone. So we want to be able to expose that up front. But our challenge is obviously once you shrink it down onto a mobile, you very quickly run out of space and things get cluttered. So there's a lot of sacrifices that we've had to make. But now I think we're starting to hit on a navigation method that we're happy with. And the reason we put this header live is because we can't predict everything. So by putting it live, we can start to see what works and what doesn't work, how users react to it, and start to modify it instead of trying to second guess ourselves continuously.
I'm just stoked that we have the talent to do stuff like this, and we're not, I mean, nothing against WordPress or whatever, but like we're not just using a WordPress theme, that we have actual people putting their hearts into this stuff. I hear you guys talking about it and fighting over what to put where and fighting with me over what to put where. And honestly, I don't think any of you guys ever gets enough credit. You know, your names aren't anywhere on the website, and they totally should be. So David, Steph, Tom, Navdeep, Jens, Jose, who am I forgetting? Marcus.
That was pretty impressive.
That's pretty much everybody.
Did you mention Tom? You didn't skip Tom.
No, I didn't skip Tom. Absolutely. No,
but you're right. And I think we should post the Skype conversation we had the other night about the millisecond delay on the burger menu.
God, yeah. I mean, these guys have been tortured over, you know, how long the delay should be before something pops out. And it's pretty impressive stuff, and I don't understand half of it. I get to play with it at the end and say, I don't like that. Yeah, I think you wasted your time on it. I think like people are telling me now, right?
Yeah, no, I think we need to put a little fun post out on that. Just I'll select some choice quote from the from the joint chat window that we had during development, and it's
so fun. That's where we.
I think it's interesting for people. I think that might be interesting for people to see anyway. You know, what goes into something like this? It's actually, it looks, obviously the header is part of a bigger whole. So we've always been working on the bigger thing. So right. When you just see the small header update go out, it might not look like so much, but there's a lot of consideration that goes into it for what will come next. So it's actually more difficult than it might seem.
Well, David, thank you for hanging out with us for a few minutes. And again, we're doing things differently this week. I've got another pre-recorded interview lined up. So it's fun to do this way. I like it. So thank you for walking us through the new header. And again, lots more to come. We're fixing things in this current header that are either broken or still not working quite as well as we would like. I appreciate the feedback from everybody. Please keep sending it. I will put in David's email address afterwards, so you can just email directly. And look forward to more. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah, we read everything, so keep it coming.
All right, thanks, David.
Thank you. Take care.
So that's David Lundblad. David's awesome. All the tech guys are awesome. Thank you again, David, Tom, Jens, Steph, Jose, Mike, Marcus.
All of them.
Awesome, awesome.
Oh, yeah, don't these forget are, Mark.
Oh, absolutely, Marcus. No, I mean, and these are all the people who don't, you know, nobody tells them thank you. Nobody sees their names. They're not on the podcast. Except for when we, you know, track them down in hotel rooms in New York. So really, really good amount of work going into this. And we're still working on it. We're still fixing things. And I'm excited. I'm glad people are enjoying it. I'm glad people are using it. And more to come.
I'm also glad that people are expressing their concerns.
Absolutely. So are we.
Because, you know, like Phil said, these guys are awesome. Our tech team, it's incredible, the tech team that we have. But they can't think of everything. Nobody can.
No, and there are always going to be bugs. So
right.
It's not like we were going to put it out there and, you know, move on and quit working on it. So for as late as we were up Tuesday night before my 6 a.m. flight Wednesday, they were up just as late the next night fixing stuff and the next night, and they're still working on it now. So it's been a pretty incredible process for me to watch being a non-code guy.
I think even in the past few days, it's improved still since then. New stuff has been added, and you know, we changed the way stories look a little bit in the bar at the top, and it's all just sort of coming together now with a bit more polish, and mm-hmm. It looks good.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I will pass that on as well. You want to do some more Q&A, and then we'll get out of here?
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right, then. How about... I lost my window. I'm going to go back to the top. Chris wants to know, Sprint T-Mobile in the merger. Thoughts? Commonly when somebody announces something.
Yep. I just see it not getting regulatory approval.
Yeah.
It just, the FCC has already said that they don't want it to happen.
I'm of the Sasha Sagan mind. Sasha writes really good stuff about all this for PC Mag. That, you know, more competition, more companies competing is a good thing. Yep. Not fewer.
That's... And Sprint and T-Mobile don't have the same outlook at the management level. I don't know how well this merger would go. It would turn out to be one entity bullying over the other, and that means half the people are going to be disappointed.
I think John Ledger said something which kind of made a lot of sense in one of the one of the Uncarrier events that he went to, is that when one carrier takes over another, it's generally seen, it sees the other not essentially as a company, it's just kind of this blob of spectrum that it can absorb. And if you're buying T-Mobile and you have that outlook, then you're probably going about it wrong, because that's really, you know, I mean, of course they compete in spectrum like everyone else, but that's really not the strength of the company right now.
But the latest rumor today says that it's a back merger, and it's actually SoftBank is going to turn everything into T-Mobile. So who knows what's going to happen anymore? It's just a bunch of rumors at this point.
Yup. Oliver wants to know, what do you think about Microsoft possibly bringing Cortana to Android? I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, it's news to me.
Is that one that's floating around?
Make it better than what I've got on the Moto X, and I'll love it.
Yeah. And it's...
They've already done that with some of their media apps, with Xbox Music, I think, is on Android. There are Bing apps as well. And, you know, it makes sense for them to get people on board with their way of doing things. You know, the Android is a big market there for them to get their claws into. And if you can say, look, here's this awesome personal assistant app, and look, it's even better on our platform, then, why not? It makes sense for them.
And Microsoft is really smart at that. Look at their Office strategy. They know how to make tons of money by offering services to competing platforms.
And they've done it for years and years with Office on macOS as well.
Yep.
Craig says, I thought you guys were the tech team. No.
Oh, God, that's a scary thought.
We're the editorial team. I can't code a web page to save my life. There were some really great insults thrown our way this week over the redesign, and some of my favorite was, have you guys ever heard of Squarespace? I'm like, yes, I've heard of Squarespace. They occasionally sponsor the podcast. and I use them for my personal site because I can't make websites, but we employ some really good people who do. So, yes, thank you for that insult. But no, we are absolutely not the tech team.
I think Jerry at the tech team might be quite fun.
If I'm on the tech team, __.send_:A, type in your comment here, hit enter. Because I suck at everything that's not the command line.
Yep.
When I code things, that's when you get like what happened with Twitter this week, or TweetDeck, not Twitter proper, I guess. That was, man, I got off the plane and get to the hotel where we had the briefing, and I see this thing about TweetDeck, and so I'm like, all right, it should be safe by now. I log in, immediately I start spewing that spam. It's like, oh, damn it.
When I saw it, I instantly jumped on Twitter and looked up your account because I know you use it, and I'm like, yeah.
Yep. Whoops. A couple more. What do you think will be included in Android 5.0? Have no idea.
New stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen any of these like break-exclusive leaks or whatever ahead of I.O. that's not just like random obvious feature to be announced at Google I.O. I mean, I don't know.
My favorite one for this week is that we're going to see Android 5.0 because Google released a screenshot with 5.0.0 in the timestamp. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, what else did they do that day?
They released another screenshot with 9:5.0 in it, which no one seemed to care about.
So, I get that it's a silly season, guys, but we're going to have to be patient. And, I mean, look, I haven't read a single I.O. leak story, whatever, that's not just like what normally would be a bullet point, you know, stretched into 2,000 words of break-exclusive. And I.O.'s coming. I'm going to be excited when we're there. It's going to be some really cool stuff. But, I mean, yes, there's going to be new design. And with new design comes a new design language. And I forget some of the other ones. I mean, right now it's just been obvious stuff.
I think if we're looking at a new version of Android for I.O. and a massive new redesign at I.O., then that's, as far as I can remember, never happened. It's always been about the stuff at the back end. And this year, it's going to be all wearables. It's going to be, you know, probably Android TV stuff as well. It's going to be, you know, things that make a difference in that way and not just, you know, fancy user-facing features and, oh, look, here's a new design language for Android, because I.O. has never really been about that.
I think I disagree a little bit because especially with those sort of very limited notifications, whether it's a Google Glass type thing or an Android Wear type thing, those are a new language unto themselves, new design language unto themselves. So in that respect, it's both user-facing and developer. But, yeah, I mean, again, we know it's coming, and just nothing out of the ordinary there at all. So I'm excited as hell. I think it's going to be really good. It's going to be some really good stuff. I can't wait to meet everybody there. We'll talk more about I.O. next week as we get closer to it, but it's going to be awesome. So, God, the 15 codes we got to give out, thanks to Google again for doing that. But just reading the emails from people and saying why they wanted to go and who they work for and what they hope to learn and see, it's just awesome. So much fun.
It makes you wish that Moscone could hold a million people, doesn't it?
It really does not, because I've seen the lines for the bathroom. And with that, I think we're going to stick a fork in it. It's 2 weeks in a row we have stuck a fork in things. Be sure to email us if you want to. We'll do more emails next week. podcast@androidcentral.com. Just find us all on Google Plus. Search for our names. Phil, Jerry, Alex. You'll find us. We are there. Circle us, follow us, whatever. Same thing on Twitter. I know Jerry's still on Twitter every now and then. He peeks.
I'm going to start using Twitter, I think, maybe a little bit.
You know what I need to do? I was thinking about this today. I have no idea what Snapchat is and what it does and why I should use it. Can somebody give
I'll
me like
you.
The
I'll no,
somebody other than Jerry? Like, I mean, I get that it's some sort of tool that kids use to talk to each other now, and I guess, I don't know. So here's my Snapchat name, Phil Nickinson, because I use my real name on things. I'm crazy like that. So add me, show me what it's for, and we'll see how many pictures I get by the end of the day, I guess.
Well, one is coming.
Great, thanks. Appreciate it. No, but seriously, add me on there. Show me what you all use Snapchat for, because I want to know why I should use that over anything else. I'm just, wow. I'm going to totally regret this, aren't I?
Yeah. I hope.
Fine. Let's do it. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call them at 888-468-6158. By the way, they've got a lot of the Galaxy S5 wireless stuff finally coming in, so check in for that. They've got orange and black HTC M8, HTC One M8 dot view cases.
We also got the Samsung gamepad, which we reviewed today, which is also on there.
How was that? Give me the 15 second version.
I mean, it's a nice basic gamepad that makes it less of a pain to play games on a touchscreen. You know, it eliminates that pain point of just fiddling around with on-screen buttons, which is really great for certain games. So, I like
cool.
it.
Awesome. All right, that's it. We're done. We're out. See you next week. We'll do Google I.O. preview next week, I guess. I'll have more stuff from this trip I'm taking this week that'll be interesting, I think. And that's it. Jerry, Alex, thank you. Everybody listening at home, thank you. Everybody watching live who sat through us pretending to listen to the recorded portions of the podcast, thank you too. Bye.
Toodles.
See you later.